This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.
This is Brightside Home Theater.
Hey, home theater nerds, welcome to the Brightside Home Theater Podcast, the podcast that's all about the experiences we have in our theaters, the sights, the sounds, the scenes, and this week, we're changing it up. We're going right to the movie, this week's Independence Day in 4K. Same podcast, I'll say this once, I'm just saying it at the beginning, it's the same podcast it's always been. I'm just changing things up, freshening up the podcast a little bit. We're going to do Independence Day first, then we'll do listener comments and all of the other stuff that comes with the podcast. But let's get to Independence Day in 4K, 3D, no, not 3D, I'm just kidding. From 1996, this is the quintessential summer blockbuster movie. Wednesday night, July 3rd, back in 1996, I was at the midnight showing. This was back when midnight showings meant something, when they were actually a midnight showing, not an 8 p.m. or now I can get tickets to Black Widow for 5 p.m. on Thursday. Wait a minute, it doesn't come out till Friday. It used to be a big deal. And to be honest with you, this is the first movie I remember seeing at midnight. Maybe Jurassic Park, maybe some movies before. I don't remember, but I do know I had tickets for this the night before, which was a Wednesday night because it was going to be coming out on Thursday. So they bumped it up. We were able to see it on July 3rd, Wednesday night. They got all the money that nice, big, long holiday weekend. And me and my buddy bought our tickets, like, I want to say like a month in advance. In 96, I don't think I could buy them on a computer. I actually had to go to the movie theater, buy my tickets. And I'll bet you if I look through my knickknacks and stuff, I still have them. I'll bet you any money, and if I come across them someday, I'll be showing them to you guys. Hold them up to the screen. I guarantee you I still have them because I pretty much save everything, and I'm trying to get away from that. But anyways, yeah, so midnight showing. I still remember my buddy Jeff and I went to see this. Absolutely loved it. Had so much fun. I mean, you just look forward. This is what summer is about. This is what summer blockbusters are. 4th of July, summertime, long weekends, midnight showings. That's what we look forward to. And this movie, when I sat down to watch it, I watched this a couple weeks ago, rewatched it this 4th of July weekend just to be able to do this podcast. So much fun. It is just so much fun. My buddy John, not a fan of it. Not a fan of it. But hey, I am. Brightside, this is great. Will Smith's awesome. Jeff Goldblum's awesome. Judd Hirsch, awesome. Bill Pullman, everybody. I mean, that speech by Bill Pullman, how many times has that been played since COVID? We are not going to let this get whatever the speech is. Great, great movie. I have so much fun with it. You want to argue with me? Argue with me. I love it. That's fine. The picture, let's get to it. One box of popcorn for the picture. Great detail, nice textures. The uniforms looked really nice. You could see the texture in the uniforms. The chest scene, we'll get to that. The chest pieces, all of that. Great, great textures. The buttons on the uniforms, the medals on the uniforms throughout this. The ships, the everything. The explosions, the depth inside the explosions looked fantastic. You had the bright explosions, but you had the dark detail. Space, the space, all the star fields looked fantastic. This is a movie from 1996. This is all heavily CGI'd, I gotta imagine. The facial textures, the features, everything looked really nice. I mean, this isn't Lord of the Rings nice, but it was really, really nice. HDR, I thought, came off really well for a movie from 1996 that has this much CGI. I was excited about the picture just a second ago. Imagine how I feel about the sound. DTSX. Can anybody guess how many boxes of popcorn this bad boy's getting? Yeah, I can hear you all yelling. Yeah, three boxes of popcorn. Insane. One of the more dynamic soundtracks ever, without going to the extreme for subterranean levels, for subterranean levels. So I always go back to Lucy. Lucy's one of my favorites, if not my all-time favorite, because she's that little, like, diamond in the rough. A lot of people don't know about Lucy, but the sub-levels on that, they just, it's violent. It hurts at times. It goes so low. But this movie doesn't do that, but it's appropriate, and it builds throughout the movie. Really, really enjoyed it, and it's like, it's like not a single note that punched me in the chest, but I did have some, there was some visceral feel as the movie went along. Again, I mean, it had a very, very dynamic sound, but it wasn't, the bass didn't get to the levels of some other movies, but you still felt fully engaged throughout because of the use of the highs, the mix of the highs and the lows. It wasn't just, you know, and I'll get to one, the opening scene, for instance, we'll get to. I thought it was the bass. It could have been better, but I didn't think it was bad. And to be honest with you, it can't be better because I thought it was appropriate. So let me say that. It's like some people might want a little bit more, but I thought it was appropriate. I thought it was very well done. But let's say lots of pans throughout this movie. Overhead seemed to be fully engaged. The sides seemed to be fully engaged. The rear channels. Everything is engaged and is completely necessary. The things that went on in this, the Coke can landing on the side of the room. We're not getting the spoilers yet. Popcorn's not playing yet. But I think you know what I'm talking about. This movie's from 1996. So with that, the popcorn is popping now. Since it is popping and we're so excited, this is a popcorn movie, so why not have popcorn popping? Let's get to the scenes. Let's get to the spoilers for a movie from 1996. And let's go with the opening here. Opening. Three boxes of popcorn. The letters, the logos, I haven't had even Superman from 1978, I think it was. Superman, forgive me if I'm wrong on that, I'm very excited. So, even Superman, that had some nice flyover with the letters as they, whew, this one, the letters break apart and they fly over you in DTSX with great bass accompanied, giving you weight to those letters. And then as the alien ship passes the moon, we get really, really nice bass there. But this is where I was just saying earlier, where they could have gone to the level of like Lucy and shaken everything off, shaken the posters off your walls, the knickknacks off your shelves. They could have gone over the top just for the effect, but they didn't. They just left it nice, rumble bass in your seat that would just felt nice and gave you a little bit of something to look forward to as this movie goes along. Really enjoyed that. And that was, and then after that opening at 2:30, we get 2 minutes, 30 seconds. We get end of the world. And I'm not singing it by REM playing on the left side. And it pans appropriately as the camera slides through the, I don't know, station that was recording all of this stuff. Right. But what I mean by appropriately is it doesn't necessarily pan from left to right, but it pans and gets closer to the left side of the screen. That is really cool. Like it was further away from the screen when they first come into it. And then as the camera pans over to the left side, that sound just gets closer to the left edge of the screen. How cool is that? So I really enjoyed that. And also the black levels on the opening scene here, the space, the moon, everything, the highlights in the footprints on the moon and how the shadow detail that we had there. Really nice. The star field looked really nice. Really, I mean, just really got you right into the movie, listening to this at reference level, three boxes of popcorn. This opening 2.5 minutes is absolutely, will just get you sucked right into this movie. And then, John, if you're listening to me, go put it on. Don't tell me that you don't like certain people in this movie because they're not good actors. This isn't about the acting. All right. 8 minutes and 38 seconds. This is where we get into that chess scene I was talking about. Green Park. Lush green in the background as David, as Jeff Goldblum, and his dad, Judd Hirsch. They're playing chess. It's so bright, so vibrant, looks fantastic. And their skin tones offsetting that. The blueness of the cityscape behind that. Like I said, the skin tones, the textures in, I think Jeff Goldblum's wearing kind of like a flannel piece. You could see the textures in that. The textures in the chessboard. I've played a lot of chess in my day and on those kinds of boards, and you could just feel those pieces. It looks so good. And I don't know, maybe because my expectations weren't very high for it. A movie from 96, and I haven't really sat down since doing this podcast, getting a more critical eye, because I'm looking for things like this. Maybe that's why it pops out at me, but I really, really liked the scene. And like, you could see like little chips in the chess pieces and the texture of the table and the boards and everything around. Plus, like I said, the green park behind them, very vibrant, very nice. At 11 minutes and 1 second, we get the biplane flyover of Randy Quaid, you know, his character Russell, cropping the wrong field. And it's like right at the 11:01 is where we get that first flyover. And it goes from the front of your room to the right rear. Really nice. Again, nice bass accompanying it. Nothing that's going to just like rock the foundation of your house, but you could feel it. And then as that scene plays out, we get a lot of nice pans as he goes all over the wrong field and they just keep swooshing him left to right. And you're in the cockpit and you're outside the cockpit and listening to it from the ground. Really nice scene there at 11:01. At 17:30, pull up. Two boxes of popcorn, and this is where that AWAC plane they're making first contact. They don't know what they're in for, and when they realize what they've got at 17:30, it's the fireball, right? So as soon as they see it, they're shocked. Your room just, boom, filled with bass. And really, really nice deep bass. Seat starts rumbling, but this scene goes really quick, really, really quick. Nice detail of the instruments start sparking off inside the cabin of the plane. And then the fireball starts to consume the plane from the front and then just consumes your room. Because you hear it at the front and it's coming right at you and just goes whoosh right past you. Really nice. And then boom, you're back. And then where are we? Back at the White House, and they're tapping the table like, come in, come in, and they're not there. But really fills your room, and then absence of sound. Really cool. At 21 minutes and 30 seconds, we're in a diner, and this is again with Randy Quaid, and this is leads into all the ships taking position. Really fun base, not overwhelming, but the dialogue here, as everything is going on and the room is filling with bass, the dialogue is very, very clear, even as the room is fully engaged. Really, really cool. At 28 minutes and 50 seconds, this is one of those detail ones. This is a press conference, and this is where Bill Pullman playing the president, and he's giving his speech, and the speech sound fills your room like there's multiple speakers around the room. Then the shift, it changes from the press room, and the president's voice changes around your room as the scene plays out, because they go from him being like on the TV or in the room. And it's just really cool. And listen to how that really, I love when they do that. It's a detail that only we could tell in our rooms, but it's really cool. Let's check that one out. At 46 minutes and 40 seconds, something's happening. Lots to talk about here. Bass, pans, discrete sounds, full room engagement, dialogue. So much fun. So this is where they're still at the White House briefly, because this is about the end of it. They're still at the White House, but they send the helicopter to the alien ship, and it hovers in front, and it's going to flash its lights. And when he does his light thing, you get the doom, doom, doom. You get nice bass there. The pans, though, that I really liked are when the alien ship fires on the helicopter, and you can hear those lasers, the pew, pew. going from the right side of your room, I believe, to your left side of your room, just zooming across. You get the explosion of the helicopter, which just fills your room. And of course, they go right back to Washington. So you get the silence there. But the discreet sounds are so nice in the dialogue. That, like, the explosions and the discrete sounds and everything of the lasers and all of that going on. But the dialogue is always crystal clear, whether it's the guys in the helicopter, the pilots in the helicopter, or the people in Washington. Really, really cool scene there at 46:40. At 49:30, so pretty. Here we go. This is where the sound really picks up, if I wasn't excited already. Three boxes of popcorn. So pretty, because that's what Marcy, I don't know why I think her name's Marcy, but she's looking up into the opening underneath the center of the alien craft. And she says, oh, so pretty. But we're like, here we go. This is where it really picks up. Picture is really nice, too, with the bright light of inside that craft. Looks really great. Looks awesome underneath the ships. But then the Empire State Building blows up. The explosions move through your room. Like, the first one was pretty quick. But the Empire State Building, it goes boom, boom, boom. Multiple explosions coming down. Then it comes down the streets of New York, coming at you. The fire engine. Pan of the fire engine flying over you from to the right rear of your room, the tunnel, the explosion coming down the tunnel. Awesome. Obviously, you feel for the dog right away. All of this going on as this entire thing ends at 54:30, 5 minutes, three boxes of popcorn. That's why, because you get 5 minutes of demo-worthy material as this is playing out. Cars crashing, explosions going on, multiple, and like I said, that Empire State Building, the boom, 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 coming down. Awesome, awesome scene at 49:30. At 58:35, not to be outdone, but slightly outdone, because it's only getting one box of popcorn. And this is where Will Smith and Harry Connick Jr. jump into their fighter planes. They go to take off. But as planes are taking off, they're not the only ones taking off. So you get, first one you get is from right to left side of the front of your room. You just a whoosh, you get a plane going by. Then you get left to right, real cool, but super quick. But jets going off, and then they take off. Really cool. At 1 hour, even 1 hour, 20 seconds, sorry, we get missiles. The launch and impact pan across your front stage is really nice here. And that's at 1 hour and 20 seconds. At 1 hour, 1 minute and 40 seconds, three boxes of popcorn, dogfight. Discreet sounds all around the room. Nice bass that also pops up all around the room. And I love when they do that. I love when bass does that, because it's supposed to be, you can't localize it, but you're hearing, like, you're feeling it come from one side or the other or a different area. Overheads are definitely engaged in this scene. This is a great use of overhead speakers from the DTS-X. Sounds seemingly to move all around over your head, too. Like, not just like nice overhead pans, I should say. You know how much I love those. The explosion was really nice when you get, Jimmy, and then Harry Connick Jr. bites it. Really nice explosion there. And the base attack, when the aliens attack the base of the Air Force base. Really, really cool. It's like the planes are coming in, or the alien ships are coming in overhead, and you're getting the laser beams hitting the ground, explosions going off. Really nice. At 1:04, 1 hour, 4 seconds, and I'm sorry, 1 hour, 4 minutes, 47 seconds, they snuck in a Wilhelm scream there. I heard it. Check it out. You'll hear it. Whatever. Actually, I'll play it. There you go. The Wilhelm scream. Really cool. They snuck that one. But this dogfight scene plays all the way to 1 hour, 5 minutes, and 40 seconds. We get the crash landing. Really, really cool. At 1 hour, 9 minutes, and 6 seconds, Air Force One. This one here is more about the ambience. I really, really like this. Nice ambient sounds around your room, like you're in a plane, and you'd think Air Force One maybe would have a little less of this, maybe a little bit more soundproofing in Air Force One. I don't know. But for the movie's sake, they wanted you to feel like you were in a plane. My room felt like it was in a plane. all the speakers around the room subtly engaged with wispy air sounds of going all around your room. Really, really nice. Really well done. Gave you that feel, but I can't help but think that maybe Air Force One's a little bit more tightly sealed. All right, moving on. 1 hour, 16 minutes and 5 seconds, Area 51, the lab sounds, the shuffling of papers, the small clanging. Again, this is all ambient sounds around your room, but I really, really like stuff like that. It's like there's a slight echo sound to their voices because it sounds like you're in a, you know, just that lab type area. Really, really nice. Like a nice break from the excitement that we've been dealing with so far. At 1 hour, 19 minutes even, Freak Show. It's a cool sound as the door opens up, and the picture looks really incredible too. The blue background and the yellow light of the containers as you're seeing the different aliens in the containers. Just a really, really nice, well contrasted scene where you blue and yellow, not opposite, two primaries, but warm and cool, fighting, not, you know, bouncing off of each other. Not fighting. Colors don't fight. They get along. All right. Now, moving on. I lost my spot. 1 hour, 19, Freak Show. 1 hour, 21 minutes, 31 seconds, Gently. And this is a scene inside the alien craft. So I named it Gently because that's what Jeff Goldblum says when they're like, how do they sit on these things? Because they were looking at the alien seats inside the craft and they look completely uncomfortable. And they're like, I don't know how they sat on these things. And Jeff Goldblum goes, Gently. And you can barely hear it. I never heard it before, but even like at reference level, it's very low level of volume on this. And I'm not sure if it was the DTSX cut or if it's my new system or, again, me paying attention to all of these things as much as I possibly can. But it jumped out at me and made me laugh out loud. I was like, hey, that was pretty cool. And I backed it up. But check that one out. 121.31, Gently. I'm not going to give it any boxes of popcorn or anything, but it's fun. At 1 hour, 29 minutes and 20 seconds, it's moving. Full room engagement here. This is the sound of the arms behind you. You can hear the alien, and then all of a sudden, you get the ringing noises and everything. Really, really cool. At 1 hour, 31 minutes, Release Me and the dialogue differences. This is another one of those scenes, like the press conference. You get the dialogue differences in this scene. Really nice. And again, these are the types of scenes that are only meant for us, because watching this on a regular TV or just a sound bar, I don't think you're going to hear the differences like you can in this one. At 1 hour, 32 minutes and 48 seconds, gunshots. And this is where they, the guy, I can't remember his name, but he was in Chuck as well. And he fires the shots off to kill the alien. And the sound comes from the front center, slightly off to the right side. But the echo with each gunshot, it goes off in the left rear. So you get the really nice sound, the really nice, like realistic gunshot sound at the front of your room, right where you see the gun. But then you hear the echo behind you. Really well done. Really nice. At 1 hour, 39 minutes and 40 seconds, You're Late. And that's the helicopter approach. Real nice base. This is where we get Will Smith finally shows up to the Air Force base that's been destroyed. He's picking up his girlfriend and says, oh, you know how I like to make an entrance. Real nice base, but really nice image with the floodlight on the front of the helicopter and the contrast there. Really nice detail as well. Really, really cool. This one here at 1 hour, 45 minutes and 30 seconds, Shoot the Can. I gave it one box of popcorn. It's the first shot that he takes. Again, this is the guy that was in the show Chuck, and he fires off. Jeff Goldblum tells him to shoot at the Coke can, and he fires, and the first one is being blocked by the force field. So the bullet ricochets all around your room. Really, really nice. That we kind of expected. Kind of fun on the second shot, and it's a little more discreet because all you get is the gunshot hitting the can on the right side of your room, and the can lands on the right side of your room. Sorry about that. The can lands on the right side of your room. But all the different sounds, very discreet, a lot of fun. Just, you know, I love pans. I love stuff like that. It's the little things that matter. At 1 hour, 48 minutes even, remove the clamps. And this is when they pulled the clamps off of the alien craft, like it was holding it down. And the weight of the sound added to your room when they released the ship is just so cool. It's like you could feel it. And it, like, there was a little bit of a visceral feel to that. Just all of a sudden they released the, you know, the clamps come off, and it wasn't overwhelming. It was almost like it's not even audible. It's just something you felt, like all of a sudden, like, and you're like, wow, that was really cool. At 1 hour, 56 minutes and 50 seconds, the speech. This is the speech that Bill Pullman gives. Two boxes of popcorn here. I'm fired up after hearing it. I want to go run through a wall or fly a ship, and I don't even know how to fly a plane. But the sound also that builds up, the score, everything, it's like it all builds with the speech. And this is probably a great example of how sound can manipulate your emotions, like, so well. It takes on such a different feel. Like, I imagine hearing this speech without that sound. It what a difference. But this here, two boxes of popcorn, your whole room becomes engaged, that you can hear the speech. And every time you hear it, you think that's what it is. But listen to how your whole room actually just sucks you right into this speech. Really cool. At 2 hours and 1 minute even, the launch. One box of popcorn, some nice visceral sound as they prep for the launch, like your room starts to vibrate and the tchunk and things are going on, and deep bass sounds as they launch with some real nice feel in the seat too. It's like you're almost like you're launching. You're like, whoa, it's really, really, oh, I don't even know what that was. That sounded like something went wrong with my body. I got to stop doing my sound impressions. Because if you guys isolate these things, it's not going to be good for me. So deep bass sound, really cool scene there. Definitely check that one out. At 2 hours and 6 minutes even, that's for Tom Andre, at 2 hours and 6 minutes even, infiltration. Really nice picture here, nice detail. I don't think I could have seen this earlier on. And this is where Jeff Goldblum and Will Smith are just flying through the alien, inside the alien ship, which is huge. And they're flying inside. And the detail and the little lights from the windows that they're looking at, you know, it's like they're going through an alien city. There was a detail there that I'd never seen before. It was really, really cool. The shadow detail, all the black levels, and that's what I mean. Like, everything just really popped. Really, really cool. Never seen that before. And then the bass, the deep bass vibrating in my seat, really deep. Serious bass just rumbling from under your seat as they cruise through this enemy territory. Just really put you right into that ship. Really nice. All right, 2 hours, 9 minutes, even. If you got a seatbelt, put it on. Four boxes of popcorn, the final battle, the missile launches, great explosions across the front of the screen as they first launch. It's just unbelievable. The dogfight, base attack, with they're attacking the base again, more of that stuff. It's like everything that I've talked about through this entire movie, here we go. You get it all at 2 hours and 9 minutes for the final battle, the final approach. It's what an action movie is all about when they come in and it's like, here we go. I'm so excited. What's his name? Not Bill Pullman. Randy Quaid. That's what it is. Randy Quaid coming in with, he's the only one with a missile left. I mean, it is textbook. Like, I mean, you knew all this was going to happen, but you're having so much fun. The score, the sounds, the dialogue, everything is so clear. Building up. I mean, you could hear every pilot speaking. You could hear the people in the control rooms talking to them. The final explosion. That is fantastic. The score while that's playing. The jet pans. The jets firing off after the explosion. The scene takes a while. Fantastic. There's so much going on in this final scene. Your whole room is engaged. Like I said, this is what action movies were meant for. Have somebody over next 4th of July, say, hey, you want to check out my theater? 2 hours, 9 minutes. Just walk away. See how much fun they have. Don't forget to put it on reference level and tell them to put in earplugs. Awesome. But here's the thing. We're not done yet. We still got to go to space. We still got to do Checkmate. At 2 hours, 19 minutes, 14 seconds, this is all falling under the four boxes of popcorn as far as I'm concerned. Now the room explodes with the bass, like actually just like a huge explosion. Awesome. Fills your room. Dialogue is perfect. The chase scene as Will Smith and Jeff Goldblum are coming out, we got must go faster, which is, you know, it was literally put in as a callback to Jurassic Park. Awesome rumble at 2 hours, 20 minutes and 25 seconds. Nice bass rumble coming up from underneath you. And the final explosion off the front of your room, it just comes right off and fills your room. Even the bass seems to move right towards you and fill your room. The score is fantastic, filling the room yet again. It's just awesome. Awesome. This is what going to the movies is all about. This is what having a home theater is all about. To me, it's not about hiding from the crowds. It's not hiding from the rude people. It's not about hiding from like the inconveniences or even the pricey popcorn. That's not what having a home theater is about to me. Home theater is about recreating the experiences of all that. Yeah, you don't have to charge yourself for the popcorn, but you get to have all the little niceties. But what you want to do is like this movie. I don't remember the rude people from 1996. I remember having a blast. I remember people clapping. I remember like just how much fun I had. I don't remember how much I paid for the popcorn that night. I didn't care. I was there to see a movie. And I just remember having a great time cheering at the screen with a bunch of other people. And when I watch a movie like this, that's how I feel sitting in my room. If I could get a bunch of people that were this passionate and would sit down and cheer with me, I'd be happy to do it. That's why I'm doing this, because I know you guys are. And it's like getting a movie to envelop you like that. You need a home theater. This movie will envelop you. It just grabs you and makes you just feel a part of the movie. That's what having a home theater is about. Putting you back in the theater. And it's like, is there ever been a more appropriate time to watch a movie like this and then go, you know what? I'm not going to go fly an airplane. I'm not going to go save the world by flying up and killing the aliens. I'm going to go back to the theater because that's how much fun it is. I'm having fun at home. Wait till you get into a theater. And it's like, believe me, I know. It takes a brave step to go back right now. It's hard for a lot of people, but that's what going to the movies is about, is being with people. We don't go to the movies for the big screen and the sound. Most people don't. You go there, I think, to be with other people and experience these movies together and have a lot of fun. And I know this came out a week late, but we got Black Widow coming out. We got all of these other movies. If you're not comfortable, by all means, stay home until you are. Keep watching at home because it's going to kick in and we'll all go back to the theaters and we're all going to have fun just like I did in 1996. So much fun. And that was my Independence Day review, recorded a few weeks ago. And I was so excited to get that movie out and very, very disappointed that everything that happened. But hey, things are going to be better because of it. And as you can see, if you're watching this on YouTube, there's a little bit of a new format here. Not only, well, let's start back up. All right. This is how I had planned on doing this. Obviously, when I recorded Independence Day the first time, I had planned on opening the show like I did with Independence Day, and then we're going to transition into the rest of the show. The second half, that's what I was working on at the time, putting it in, and I lost it, so here we go. So a little bit of explanation, this will all work itself out, and we'll be back to streaming as normal and doing our thing and everything like that, and me, you know, we'll get back there, we'll get there. But it's taught me a lot. I need to simplify. I need to make things simpler for myself to be able to get this out, not try to be so creative with all of the graphics and everything like that. So that's why I'm doing this a little bit less formal. We're going to open the show with the review. If it's a review that week, I might be doing interviews, I might, whatever it is. But we're going to open the show with the main topic, and then we'll get into all of the conversations and stuff like that that we've been doing, that we've been having fun with. So, but obviously this being the first week that this happened, I'm literally flying by the seat of my pants. As you could tell, I'm wearing, if you're on YouTube, I'm wearing my work shirt. I need to get this stuff done. I need to get this out of me. And I want to have a place where I can come, and if I have an idea that I want to talk about, just be able to get it out to you guys. And let's have, I actually toyed with the idea of doing a daily podcast, but I put pressure on myself. If I do a daily home theater podcast, every day that I don't do one, I'll feel bad. So I'm not, maybe I will, maybe I won't, maybe I'll put one out, maybe I won't, but you can always count on the Fridays. That one, I will always be putting pressure on myself to get out to you guys. So we'll see how it goes. But this week, obviously, we did Independence Day, and I gave my little, and I still think that, obviously, this was before Black Widow came out. Let me know in the comments what you guys thought of Black Widow. My personal opinion on Black Widow, I didn't really get into it much last week with Rob, but my personal opinion on Black Widow is it's kind of middle of the road. Actually like Captain Marvel better as far as the female leads go, but I like Black Widow. The character, I actually like her better in the MCU than Captain Marvel. I just thought the Captain Marvel movie was a little bit better. Personal note on Black Widow, my dog, her name's Romy. She's a Siberian Husky. A little Russian there, right? And she's red and white. They call them red. She's a red and white Siberian Husky. Instead of the black and white with the blue eyes, she's red and white with brown eyes. And her name, we call her Romy, but her real name, if you haven't heard this on the podcast in the past, her real name is Natasha Romanoff. So she is Black Widow. And one of the things that I really liked about this movie is that Black Widow wears the white costume now. In this movie, she had the white jumpsuit on, and with her red hair and the white, I was like, that's my girl. That's my dog. And she is my girl. It looked just like her, and it just reminded me so much of her. And I thought that was great. But even still, as far as the movie goes, middle of the road, which is to say I loved it. Absolutely loved it. Thought it was a good home theater experience. I don't think it's a great home theater experience as of right now. My hopes aren't very high for the disc version because Marvel typically doesn't put out great disc versions. It's just the way it is. I do like Iron Man. I'll be doing that one someday. So stuff like that. But it just, I really, really enjoyed that movie. Hey. We're getting a phone call. Hey, everybody. It's Ara. Ara Dedarian of the HT Guys. How we doing?
Doing well. How are you?
I'm doing all right. Hey, what's with this sudden urge to speak to me?
No, I was... we watched Tomorrow War. And then yeah. As I was watching it, I was just amazed at how cool the effects were. And I said, I wonder if DJ has seen this or talked about it. So I texted you and I said, hey, have you seen the movie? And here we are.
Yeah. That was, I did a 5-minute podcast on it right after I saw it. Five or whatever. It's on YouTube. Because I was super impressed with that movie. I've come to find out since then that wasn't done. I'm pretty sure that wasn't even done just for Amazon. That was supposed to be released, I believe, and Amazon bought it. Did you hear
that's
that?
That's correct. And I believe they bought it after, the pandemic hit and things kind of went sideways for the movie industry. So they bought it, and that's how they got it on there. Because it is a Not that Amazon has bad movies, but there's just kind of a different step up, and I think they're getting better at their movies. But this was a really, it's like what you would expect to see in a movie theater.
Yeah. Yeah. And what I thought was amazing to me is that's why I was like, hey, let's jump on and talk about this, because what I thought was cool is Netflix has probably the best streaming movies because they have the best HDR, they have the best Atmos. And I've said for a while now that it feels like what they're doing is like made, they know it's going to straight to streaming. So Rob and I talked about it last week. They have parameters in place to film in a way that the HDR is going to look good on streaming. And where Tomorrow War, it wasn't filmed with that in mind. And for them to pull that off and look that good, never, we'll get to the sound in a minute, but I thought that was pretty cool.
Yes, and we ended up watching it downstairs where I have my bass shakers, but my theater room is upstairs. And halfway through it, I said, let's go finish this upstairs because this movie deserves to be watched on a big screen. Not that my screen downstairs is tiny, but I mean, go to a 100-inch screen from a 70-inch screen, that's a noticeable difference. You get more of a cinema-like experience when you do that.
Yeah, and your 100-inch screen, you're still running the short throw?
Yes.
Yeah. And the HDR and everything looked great on the big screen?
Everything looked great. The only issue I have with my particular setup, I don't know if it's the Apple TV or the projector, the Optima. Sometimes the HDR scenes will go dark and then they'll lighten up. It does get a little bit annoying, and that's something I don't know where the software issue is between that. Downstairs, I don't have HDR, and so you didn't experience any of that.
Huh. I haven't heard of that one. Not that.
Yeah, it's
not
probably my setup somewhere in the chain that I'm trying to figure out.
Somewhere in the chain, yeah. I had a weird, here's a little sidetrack. Back with my old projector, it was a Vivitech 50, I don't remember the numbers, but it was a Vivitech. And I was running the Oppo 203, the 4K Oppo, right? Actually, this I had this issue with both of my Oppos. I had, before the 4K version, I had the original Oppo, right? And my calibrator, he's the one that suggested the projector. And whenever you would turn it on, it just, when it powered up, something with the HDMI handshake, it made it come out too blue. And what I ended up having to do, and it was only with this projector and the Oppo, is I had to go in after it was powered up and go to the individual settings on the projector, the blue, you know, you have your reds, your or siennas, your blues and whatever. Go to the blue, knock it down from 101 to 100, and then go back to 1, and it would reset and be fine.
Oh, interesting.
It was the weirdest problem solved that I've ever had. And it was just, it was weird. And when I got my new projector, didn't have that problem. It was just something with that handshake. And there, like you said, with your system, there's always a little something, and you, someday it'll bug you enough and you'll fix it.
Yeah, exactly. And it wasn't enough to really make it hard to watch, but you notice it. So
yeah. So the movie itself, let's not talk spoilers or anything like that, because I don't know how many people have seen it. But what did you, you said you used your bass shakers. The bass in this was pretty cool.
It was insane. And then upstairs, I've got a huge subwoofer. So you didn't get the same visceral effect, but you still got a lot of a good bass. But the audio was fantastic. I think the audio, from a technical point of view, stole the show. The video, the elements like that were pretty cool. But, you know, it's a futuristic world where they kind of dimmed everything down. You know, they didn't have it very bright anyway. So that's not what you were looking at, but you were definitely listening to the audio, which was fantastic. Helicopters flying around, things exploding, aliens crawling all over. So it was a good use of that and Atmos as well.
Yeah, the Atmos, obviously, this isn't really a spoiler, but when they quote unquote launched the people to the future, you know, because it's the Tomorrow War, they launched them through the ceiling. And your room, your overheads are completely engaged during that launch sequence when they all go. I thought that was really cool.
Yeah, and while that was good, I still there was more bass throughout, and that's kind of where I really felt it stole the show from audio point of view. And that's why after that, I'm thinking I want to get the bass shakers upstairs too, because it adds a whole different element to watching. It's not like those D-Box chairs that are tuned to, they have special codes that make the chairs do certain things, but you still get that rumble, which is pretty cool.
Yeah. What do you have for a subwoofer in your big room?
I got a HSU SU subwoofer. It's a local company out here in Anaheim. I went to the place and picked it up, and Dr. Sue himself gave me a tour of the facility and let me listen to some stuff. So it's pretty cool. It's that's a quite big subwoofer. And, you know, downstairs I have the SVS subwoofer.
Oh, cool. Yeah, I have two SVS 2000s. And they're both centered in the room, one centered in the front wall and one centered right behind my chair. So I get that visceral feel. I get like without the bass shakers.
Yeah, you can get it that way too.
Yeah.
The nice thing about the bass shakers, though, is you can turn down your subwoofer at night.
Yeah.
And the bass shakers don't make any noise and you still kind of get that feeling. So.
Yeah, that is pretty cool. There is a lot of great bass, and that did impress me in this movie. For a streaming, I don't know why we say that, because it feels like with all the other streaming content, it feels like the bass doesn't get to come through on streaming, but it's nothing
funny.
New.
I've heard you mention that, and I've never said that for streaming content, because the bandwidth requirements for audio is not that much. So there's no reason why you couldn't have the full audio, and you could dial back the bandwidth for the video. I get that. But for the audio, you could have full blown, Dolby Digital or DTS, and it shouldn't make any difference. In fact, if I was trying to decide where to allocate my bits, I would allocate more towards the audio, because the you're going to get, I think, a more bang for your buck, with people who've got surround systems. My wife kept pointing out to me, remember, not everyone watches the way you do, because I was like blown away by it. And she's like, yeah, but think about your brothers who just have a TV with a sound bar.
Yeah. And it's so funny that I said that to Rob last week. We were talking about streaming and how everything's going and everything, like, and where it could be headed. But I was like, he's like, but what's the motivation for them? And I kept saying, I'm like, why not? I'm like, what's their motivation now? Like, when they put all these great sounds into a movie, it's for us, because most people never experience it. It's for such a small percentage of people like us.
Well, yeah, for streaming only, obviously, but for movies that were meant for the cinema, then it's for everybody who goes and watches it. And as you said earlier, this was not just a streaming only movie. This was a movie that was originally meant to go out into the cinemas, and so that's why it was probably mixed the way it was. Now you're right, if they know, most people, like on Netflix, they know what their audience is, and they know that 80% of their people have a sound bar and maybe a small subwoofer, they're not going to put that much effort into it. I get that. But there are movies on Netflix that were only meant for Netflix that have incredible surround tracks too, so I guess it's all about what the sound engineer wanted to do.
Well, you and I talked in the past about Six Underground, and that has a great soundtrack. And that, up until Tomorrow War, that was my favorite streaming-only movie. And I'd say, I'd love to get your opinion, I'd say Tomorrow War is the best streaming movie so far.
From a sound point of view?
Yeah. Sound and picture, yeah.
I don't know about picture, but definitely for sound. The reason for me is I like the warm colors, and I there wasn't that many in this, because it's a tomorrow where they're in a war that's gripping the entire Earth. So they try not to make it very bright and vivid.
Right.
So you don't get all the color that's available anyway. So I mean, it was nice and sharp, and the picture was good, but it wasn't the most engaging visually for me.
See, what I liked is, and again, no spoilers, but you know how the movie progresses and things kind of shift to a different time period later on in the movie, right?
Yeah.
And we go into, we get a different type of setting there. And I thought the contrast between those two, I thought it was really good. And that's, I thought that kind of showed off the 4K, the HDR of this. But you're right, though, that Six Underground has some great, great video footage in that one. I mean, the opening scene of the plane flying in Six Underground, which is kind of like a Red Bull commercial practically, isn't it?
And yeah, and there are scenes in, I believe it was Italy, and maybe it was France. Either way, it was somewhere in Europe. And I believe it was later in the day. And so you had that golden hour look. And I thought that it looked very good. The Tomorrow War starts out Christmas, and he's coming home, and all the houses have their Christmas lights and things like that. And you're right. You know what? I might have to go back and look at it again. Last night, I watched the movie, or two nights ago, I watched the movie purely to watch the movie.
Yeah.
And then sometimes after talking to you, I go back and watch it critically. Yeah. And so I enjoyed watching it without thinking of these things. I just remember when it was all done, I said, oh, let me talk to DJ, see what he thought, because I'm giving you my
first impression
after the movie, overall opinion, not sitting there with a notepad, not that you do, but you know, not sitting there with a notepad going, oh yeah, this scene here was fantastic, that was fantastic. So you kind of have me a little bit off guard with those types of details.
It's funny you say, like, I have you off guard, like I showed up on your doorstep and I'm quizzing you. It's like, you contacted me.
Well, no, I literally just asked you if you watched the movie, and then you say, hey, you want to come on? I'm like, okay, why not? And then like I said, I just wasn't prepared to.
But that's the best part. And that's what my podcast is about. And I said that in this week's podcast. It's funny. I'm like, our three podcasts, I think we complement each other so well. It's like you guys do the whole thing where you, it's the equipment. And I say in the podcast, it's funny that, and people haven't heard it yet as they're listening to me, because I knew we were coming on and I'm inserting this in. But what was funny is I say, like, we complement each other where you guys pick the equipment, the AV Rant guys help you adjust the equipment, and then once you're done with all the experts, you come to me for the idiot analysis of sitting in your room.
No, I wouldn't say that, but yeah, it's fun. It's a good hobby. It's enjoyable, and then it's a hobby that your whole family gets to enjoy with you.
Yeah, and yeah, exactly. And no, but that, I love having you come on like this. I love, it's whenever you've watched a movie and you want to jump on like this, just, you know, I know you're not shy, so
just, okay, no problem.
Yeah, shoot me a text and we'll talk. It's fun. This is what that's the bright side of home theater. Let's talk about what we do on this side of the screen.
Yeah, it was fun. I recommend it for all your listeners to go out and watch it. And if you've got Amazon Prime, it doesn't cost you anything. So the funny thing is, my daughter wanted to watch it during the week and whatever, and I knew it was going to be the type of movie where I wanted to watch it on a Saturday night, because whenever I watch a movie like that, I need decompression time, and I knew it was going to be a late night, because after you watch that, try to go to sleep, your mind's just going. After that, I think we ended up watching a couple episodes of Community or something, just to kind of to bring myself down, because it was pretty intense. It was fun. And that's the type of thing. Set it up for a Saturday night, Friday night, Saturday night, make an event out of it and enjoy the movie.
Yeah. And Ara, let me recommend, go back and watch it again, because I've watched it a couple of times. And on the second viewing, like you said, it's very intense. You're going to be on the edge of your seat still, and you're going to start thinking to yourself, we haven't even gotten to this part yet. And it's fun. It's a lot of fun. So, hey, thanks for shooting me the text. This was fun.
Oh, sure. Thanks for having me on.
All right. Let's do it again soon.
Okay.
Wow. Ara Dedarian just drops in. What do you guys think of that? This is why I want to be able to fly by the seat of my pants. Not that I can take phone calls on the fly like this, but hey, it's Ara. I'm going to wedge him in. He contacts me. Boom. You're in. Great conversation. Ara Dedarian of the HT Guys. You can find them at htguys.com. Listen to his podcast. Great. They're the reason I have my Sony projector. If I haven't said it before, you're new to the podcast. I was listening to them one day. They told me that the Sony went on sale $500 down on Amazon or something. I was listening to them. I was at work, stopped what I was doing, got on my phone, boom, bought my Sony projector because of them. So, yeah, great guys. If anything about equipment, new equipment that's coming out, they're great for home automation. They do like the full everything, not just home theater, just anything electronic, stuff like that. Great. These three podcasts between HT Guys, AV Rant, and myself, we really kind of having a lot of fun complimenting each other right now. And I don't mean like you're great, you're great, you're great. I mean, we each do something a little bit different. So we're having a lot of fun with that. And they're the guys that, oh, hey, this is the equipment for this, and this is the equipment for that. And then AV Rant guys, they're more the guys that, okay, now I have this great equipment that I heard about from HT Guys. How do I set it up and get the most out of my great equipment? And then me, once you have your great equipment and you're done with all the expertise that you need and you just want mindless, stupid people, that's me. So, hey, Ara, thanks for dropping by. That was a lot of fun. Now, where was I? I don't know. I have no idea. But if you've listened this far, my name's DJ. This is the Home Theater, Brightside Home Theater Podcast, where we talk about the bright side of the theater. When we sit down and we have fun, that's what I come here for. And let's get to a little bit of that. Let's put out a little tease right now. All of this that you see around me, which is nothing. It's a movie poster, which I really love, and that's why I've refused to change it so far. Couple of curtains, that's all changing. It's all changing. It's going to take a little while, but when I drop that curtain, whoo, I can't wait for you guys to see the new studio under the stairs. That's what this is called. Named for by my buddy John over in Brightside Chat, where we talk comics. Has the same background, by the way. But anyways, the studios are changing. So we're going to have fun with that. I'm really looking forward to that. I'm going to invest some money into the podcast. And flying by the seat of my pants. If you'd like to invest money into the podcast and help me out, you can go to Patreon. Patreon.com/Brightside Home Theater. And you can donate as little as a dollar or as much as you'd like. They give most of it to me. They keep some of it for themselves. And that's one way you could support the podcast. It's a lot of fun. I support a bunch of podcasts. And it's just a great way to show your support. And it helps out the podcast, believe it or not. So I'd appreciate that. But if you don't, there's a bunch. Most podcasts I don't support. So I completely understand. But anyways, so I'll get that off my chest. Oh, another way you can support the podcast. I don't have anything on today. You can go to TeePublic, TeePublic.com, search Brightside Home Theater, and the links are always in the show notes. You can go there and you can buy some merchandise, t-shirts, pillows. Pillows are sound absorbing. I actually put out a tweet the other day, shameless plug type thing, because my son keeps bugging me, and I said, no, I hate asking for this stuff. And he goes, nobody cares. If they don't like to listen to you, they just fast forward or whatever, but you're not going to get anything if you don't ask, and people don't even know it's there, or they think that they're going to do it, and then they're going to do it, but they forget about it, and then you hear it again, blah, blah, blah. And he does it all the time, so I'm like, fine, but I hate asking for stuff. I hate asking. I just like to do this. So if you like to support the podcast that way, you can also do that, but that's also fun because then you can post it on social media. You can wear it around. That's what I posted on Twitter about my phone that I use. And you can see I have one right here, my Brightside Home Theater phone. Just showed it on YouTube. But I showed it at the bar, and I do. I get people that ask me questions like home theater. Like, some people don't even know what home theater is. And so that gets a conversation. Sometimes their eyes roll back. Other times they're interested and they want to know more. But either way, it's a conversation starter. It helps support the podcast because people that are into home theater might just learn who I am. So that's a fun way. And the other way is listener comments. And this is one of my the most fun parts of the podcast to me is interacting with you guys. And one of the reasons I simplified like this is because I want to be, and I say like this on YouTube, I'm talking about the graphics I'm using, is because I want to be able to do this on a whim. If I have a conversation going, I want to be able to come down here and jump on and be able to talk to you guys and get that out to the podcast this week. And for instance, this week I had, let me look on my phone right now. I had JT. He got back to me. Where is it? Okay. JT got back to me this week about, so JT at Pank JT on Twitter. He says, "Hey DJ, thought I'd let you know that you now have one less listener who has never seen Star Wars. Finally watched it, probably will never watch it again, but at least I now have an informed opinion. Take care, buddy, from the unicorn." And I said, "Congratulations, I'm guessing you didn't like it, LOL. I have a couple of questions for you in this week's podcast." And then he replied, "LOL, not my favorite film of all time, if I'm honest, but I enjoyed the ending. Basically, it's cowboys and Indians in space. Can see why it has the following it has, though. Picture and sound were excellent on Disney Plus. Look forward to the pod on Friday." So, JT, that was one of my questions. Is my main question for you was, can you see why it has such a big following? And yes, it is cowboys and Indians in space. That has been said for a long time. It's, I mean, you have just the way the entire thing is laid out. Han Solo practically is a cowboy in this entire series. But I thought it was interesting that you can't. I was actually expecting by me asking the question, can you see why people love this? And I was expecting you to say, not really, to be honest, because I think people later to it, they just don't have there was a lot of suspension of belief with this movie. It's a great story. I get that you don't want to go on, but if you haven't seen, now this is Star Wars from 1977, A New Hope. I recommend going on to Empire Strikes Back if you haven't seen that one yet, because that's where the story really ramps up. And then, of course, I think it takes a little bit of a dip with Return of the Jedi. That's my least favorite of the three. But I think, and of course, I know you know the story and everything like that. It's like, I doubt JT is sitting there going, "Oh, gee, what happens at the end of Empire Strikes Back?" But that is the absolute, you know, that's where it ramped up for everybody, including myself. My story on Star Wars is I hated Empire Strikes Back as a kid. I didn't like it because I don't like when the bad guys win. And when the bad guys are ahead and Empire striking back, the Empire is winning. And I don't like that. And me, this whole bright side thing, that's not just a play on words, meaning we're sitting in front of the TV screen or our movie screens. It's literally, that's how I was raised. That's my dad. I've said that in the podcast in the past. That's my dad. I always look at the bright side of things. I try to look at what people are trying to do, whether they're my enemy, and that's happened in life, or they're my friend. If I don't understand something somebody's doing, I try to look at it from their perspective. And that comes in handy when talking about movies. Like, we might not like movies, but then I try to think of what are they trying to do here. It doesn't mean I always like everything, but it gives me the best shot at finding value in everything. So that's why with like this whole Star Wars thing, it's like, I loved the movie Empire, but my idea, Empire Strikes Back, that is, my idea of that was like, I just don't like the idea that they're winning, the Empire is winning. So I didn't like it. It wasn't until later in life where I'm like, okay, that is a great movie. It's one of my favorites. Still not my favorite over 77 though. All right, what else do we have this week? Since we're flying by the seat of our pants, let's jump around. Let's see. Oh, we had some conversation about Rambo this week. Steve George, a lot of people love that movie. I mentioned that it was one of my favorite Christmas time movies because it does take place at Christmas. There are some holiday decorations in the background. I watch that every year in December. I've watched it multiple times throughout the year in my life, but now that I'm watching more and more movies and I have to allocate, like Die Hard gets a December viewing, and then, you know, Rambo and Lethal Weapon and all, you know, there's reasons I move them to certain places. Independence Day, which we did this week. It's the one that happened to be on right before I'm doing this thing. Which I recorded weeks ago, but Independence Day, I watch that every year around Independence Day because that's how I fly with things like that. I did have a comment this week. Let me find it. Here it is. Bertrand Lorette, at Bertrand Lorette on Twitter. He says, at Brightside HT, just watched Tenet on a 4K disc last week, and it was amazing in my home theater. 5.2.4, 77-inch CX Martin Logan motion series. Want to pick it apart for us? And, oh, by the way, Bertrand Lorette is a new follower to Twitter. Thanks for following me on Twitter. And anyways, I wanted to get to this because, yes, Tenet is a fantastic home theater movie. And I get questions like this all the time. I get requests, I should say, on podcasts to do. And let me give you guys an, I don't think I've ever actually said this on the podcast, because at the time I started the podcast, I didn't know where I was going. I didn't know what I was going to be, how the format was going to go. And as you can see, it's constantly evolving because I'm constantly evolving. So, but what I do know is pretty consistently, most of the movies that I really break down, like I just did for Independence Day, are older movies. And that's because I love the idea, and this is how this has evolved. I didn't set out to do it this way, but I love the idea that this podcast is about talking about breaking down a movie and, you know, bringing attention to stuff that maybe we didn't really bring attention to before. Whether it's like Lucy's a perfect example. Lucy's a movie that I don't think a lot of people knew were very good. Honestly, when I put the disc in, I loved the movie. I wasn't expecting what I got out of it at the time. And it kind of became a life of its own. But it's movies like that. It's movies like District 9 or Sucker Punch or even Twister that I did last year. It's fun when I bring up older movies that people don't remember that they watched. They don't remember, or maybe they've never seen or something like that. And it doesn't mean I don't want to review Tenet, and I will. But the thing is when I'm going to review Tenet, it'll probably be over a year old on disc, that is. And it'll be something that we want to revisit. And here's the second part of it. When movies come out, everybody and their brother, go on YouTube when Tenet came out, or go on right now and do a review. Look for a review of Black Widow. Everybody's doing them. And it's not like I'm not trying to be like different. I don't want to compete with that. It's like, I don't want to be, there are people doing great reviews and I watch them all the time. I listen to them. I want to see what people think. Sometimes I agree with them. Sometimes I don't. Some people, it's funny watching the back and forth on what different people think about different movies, but there's so many out there and I don't want to be just another name in that list on YouTube or on your podcast stream that says, oh, DJ's doing Black Widow like everybody else did this week. So I try to do something a little different, you know, not that, I mean, look, it's not like I'm being crazy and being different by doing Independence Day around the 4th of July. Well, other than the fact that it's now 2-3 weeks later because of unforeseen circumstances, but you know what I mean? So I try to do movies that, well, honestly, that just strike me and interest me. And I really don't have an interest in doing a movie that everybody in the world's talking about at the time. Obviously I am watching those movies, but to sit down and break it down, I like to do them when they're not at the front of your mind. And it makes you go, hey, that's pretty cool. I'm going to go put that in right now. I haven't seen that movie in a long time. So that's where I stand. December, that's a different story. I always review every year. I sit down with my son in December and do Die Hard, or I'll do a Christmas movie or something like that. It's a little bit more of a relaxed time, trying to get things done. But That's how things go. That's how I'm making things go anyways. So hopefully you guys enjoy it. If you do, thank you very much. Follow me on Twitter like Bertrand did. Let's see. Speaking of Twitter, let's see who else joined us on Twitter this week. We have on new Twitter followers. We have Bertrand. I think Amanda was from last week. Maybe not. But if not, Amanda, Bertrand, Lorette, Boomcaster, and CodyBot all joined us on Twitter this week. Thank you for joining on Twitter. Thank you to my 14 patrons. appreciate that. Hopefully we can tick that up again a little bit, maybe get to 20 by the end of the year. That would be kind of cool. Money is going to good use behind those curtains back there. You'll see someday. But let's see. What else did we have this week? We had... Oh, yeah, that's right. Speaking of the Rambo conversation that we had, I didn't even mention this. Steve George at Legal Beagle, okay, dropping some Rambo knowledge I didn't know. And there's not much. I think one time I knew his middle name. And if somebody says it, I'd be like, yeah, that's it. I know he's part Indian descent. I mean, we all know the little thing, the stories. I've read the books, Rambo. I read First Blood by David Morrell. I read Rambo... First Blood Part 2, also by David Morrell, and I read Rambo 3, which I don't recommend. The first two, really good. The second one I really enjoyed because it was based off of the movie, but added more detail, so I really enjoyed that. The third book, Rambo 3, was just based off of the movie, but it was like cut for cut the movie, and it was no different. It really didn't add anything else. I'll give you a for instance in Rambo 2. The scene when Ko gets killed in the book is way more descriptive. You know, like he actually, when he turns back in the movie to get, he forgot his bow and he turns back and Ko gets killed in the open field. He's already thinking, you know what he's thinking. And he turns, I don't even know if he forgot his bow. He was trying to tell her, don't go out there, because in the book, he's thinking, we can't go out into an open field. You're sitting duck, right? You would skirt the edges of it. And they give you way more detail on how he's thinking and how he's thinking about, you know, avoiding the enemy and all of that. So that was really cool in both books, the first book and the second book. The third book added nothing extra like that. So, but anyways, here we go. Steve George at Legal Beagle. Okay. Dropping some Rambo knowledge here. He says the author of the book, David Morrell, was trying to think of a name for his lead character. He was reading poems by Rimbaud. I don't even know if I'm saying that right. His wife came home and had a bag of apples. He saw the brand were Rambo apples, and that was it. She also had some walnuts, and they were branded Teasel, which is his antagonist in the movie. And so that's fantastic. I did not know that. That's awesome. I thought that was fantastic. So in emails, G. Cornell asking me if I'm doing Mortal Kombat next week. No, I am not doing Mortal Kombat next week. Again, see the last explanation, G. But we did get it as a recommendation from Steve George. That was actually one that I do remember was lost in the original Independence Day podcast. That was going to be in there. I have seen Mortal Kombat. Absolutely fantastic. A great home theater experience. Not the best movie in the world. I didn't love it, but I want to review it. I want to watch it again, and I will when time allows and people have forgotten about it. I will get you back into your theater to experience all the bass, all of the emotion that comes from the sound of that movie. It is a really, really fun movie in the theater. And I'm not, like I said, I'm not a huge fan of the story and the acting and all of that. But in the theater, I think it is one of the best. The disc is fantastic. Also got a bunch of emails from Carl this week. And you will hear, they're mostly technical stuff. Carl and I are actually having great conversations back and forth about different things as well, about going to the movies, the car experiences, stuff like that. But most of the stuff, I believe, Carl, this week was mostly technical stuff that you'll hear about over on HT Guys or on AV Rant. They bring them up. Carl, great guy, lots of information. He brings all the news, and that's kind of one of the perks of being part of this, you know, 3-podcast group here, is I get all those emails now. Carl includes all of us, so I get to see the behind-the-scenes conversations on what those 2 podcasts are going to talk about this week. So thanks, Carl, for all of that. I think that might be it. If it's not, I'll pop something in right here and we'll go from there, buddy. And here's my first add-in. Look at this. I'm just dropping this in now. You probably just heard me say if something comes up, and here's something came up. I just remembered I really would like to get a copy of True Romance. Steve George doesn't like the movie. So we had a conversation on Twitter, and it is one of my favorite movies. This movie came out right when my wife and I got married. I believe it was a couple of days later. We got married in September. Well, I know the date, September 4th, 1993. And this movie came out a few days later. We saw it together in the theater. I said this on Twitter, I believe. We went and saw it and we were like, oh, hey, Oh, no, I didn't. This is one I talked to Carl about, as a matter of fact, on email. So we saw it in the theater, you know, newlyweds thinking True Romance. I love Christian Slater, love Pump Up the Volume, loved Heathers, all that. So I was like, why don't we go see True Romance? This will be a fun, you know, movie for the both of us to see. She actually does enjoy it. She's freaky like that with me, like a little bit crazy sometimes. She's actually not. I think she just goes along to get along with me, I guess. So we've been married since 93, so it's working. But anyways, really enjoyed that movie. Loved the entire thing. I mean, Brad Pitt's in it. A lot of people don't realize that. Brad Pitt plays a great character in that movie. Same with Val Kilmer. A lot of people watch that movie, and especially back then, they were like, they'll see the name, and they're like, Val Kilmer was in that? Where was he? I didn't even see him. If you don't know where he was, check it out. He's in that movie as well. But Dennis Hopper, it's such a great movie. Great movie. Would absolutely love to get a copy of that. So, anybody not in the United States that wants to DM me or email me and let me know, I don't know how, I'll get you the money, we'll figure it out, PayPal, whatever, if you could send me a 4K, I'm having trouble finding it. I shipped over my Justice League copy, and that was like $80 to get it imported, because we're not getting it in this country until, I think, September it is now. And I wanted that, so I have that, and I paid for it. I'd be happy to pay for shipping, everything, whatever it costs, and just, you know, you just tell me, and I'll PayPal you the money or whatever, but I would love to get a copy of True Romance in 4K and be able to play it here, and I would probably review that one. That's an older movie. See what I'm doing there? I can review that one. But yeah, that was it. If there's anything else, I will let you guys know. Back to the regularly scheduled program. Until next week, please go push play. Please at least go to TeePublic and check out the merch. It can't hurt, right? You just shop at Window Shop, because then maybe you'll click on something. That'd be TeePublic at Brightside Home Theater or whatever. You just go to TeePublic and search for Brightside. Or click the link in the show notes. It's not hard to find. But other than that, wow, look at me selling myself. Ooh, that's crazy. But everybody, if I've forgotten something, I will drop it in here. But everybody, have a great week. I don't know what I'm doing next week. I know what's going on behind the curtain behind me. But I'm having a lot of fun. Hope you're having a lot of fun. We'll break something down or we'll talk to somebody next week. But either way, have a great week, everybody. Go push play. Over and over. Have fun in your theaters, and let me know. Let me know what you're pushing play on, and we'll talk about it right here. See you next week. Thanks for listening. Hey, Fred.
This has been a Hey Fred production with theme music by Jeff Bernhardt and Throne Vault Productions.